The gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 9 through 15. It's found in your pew Bible on page 34. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending it like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Change your hearts and lives. The scriptures, the first gospel by Mark and the New Testament reading from 1 Peter walk us through, and both of them have a theme. It's that baptism, it's that renewing of the Spirit. It even goes back to the covenant made by Noah, made by God with Noah, of that rainbow, that promise that we get from the Old Testament reading that was read. If we look at Genesis 9, 8 through 17, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." See, you've heard me say it before. God loves you. But did you really understand that? Did you really believe that? Do you really believe that God loves you? That's why I love the choir. Hallelujah. Absolutely. But you know what? When you look in the mirror in the morning and you see that, okay, I couldn't have said it any better. That's probably what I say when I look in the mirror. Oh, who is that? But you know what? From the earliest remembrances I have of looking in a mirror, I know that what I learned early on in Sunday school was that I was a child of God and that He loved me. And there have been times when I had bloody noses and black eyes and cuts all over my face from one thing or another, or when my life just wasn't going right and my wife had left and taken our daughter, and I was in the most dejected and lowest part in my life. And every morning, you know, you wake up and you walk in there and you wash your face and you look in the mirror. And you know what? One of the strengths that you can draw from that is God loves you. Even that face looking out of the mirror. He loves me. Why? Because I'm a great person? Because I'm a great guy? Because I'm a wonderful person? Or maybe not. But God loves me because He loves me. Because He created me. God loves me. And He loves you because He created you. We weren't just something that crawled out of some primordial slime, as some would have us believe. You know, you can shake a shoebox filled with watch parts for a million years, and you know what? You're never going to get a beautifully functioning watch out of that. I don't care how many years you shake it. So the people that say, well, you know, It was evolution, you know. It was, you know, that we just, it, life just kept evolving for billions of years, and we finally got it right. Yeah, okay, I think I'm going to believe where God spoke into the void and created the earth. And then he created us. And he said, this is good. Now, we're not good all the time. Can I hear an amen on that one? We're not good most of the time. There we go. Okay. But he still loves us. And you know what? As we look into and live into this time of year where we call Lent, when we're looking so much to the end where we've got Easter and celebration and those lilies. You know, we look out there and we see that dark, that light snow, but the darkness of a day that brings us that snow, the clouds, and you know they can sometimes be depressing and despairing and doubting. And we see that celebration that's Easter. You know, the 40 days of Lent, 46 days total, but we have in the midst of it a Sunday each week. And that Sunday is a little bit of Easter. Because as we've meditated during the week, as we've given up something for Lent for the week, as we've done something extra for someone else through that week, you know, we're wearing our Lent clothes. But on Sunday, we get to celebrate the Redeemer who lives. He lives and he died for us, but he lives and he'll come again. The first Peter piece, verse 18, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all. You and I don't have to suffer for our sins. That's the beauty of it. But what we do have to do is we have to recognize that he paid the penalty for our sins. We don't have to suffer. And Lent is not a time for us to suffer and say, oh, well, we have it that way. But I believe that Lent is a time where we reflect what it is that Jesus did for us. And he did it for us. One time for all. This righteous man became unrighteous to bring us into a righteous relationship with God. We're made rightwise, as a German writer, Bultmann, I think is his name, and he's translating the Hebrew word for righteous, because Abraham was counted righteous. What was it that counted Abraham as righteous? It wasn't that he did all those good things, because if we read the Old Testament and we read what Abram did, you know, he lied. Wasn't all that great. But he had faith in God. It was his faith that made him righteous. And Bultmann would say that that term or that word is could be translated more correctly, made rightwise. In other words, it's not something that we've done, it's something that God has done through Jesus Christ. He's made us righteous. Not that we are righteous in our own, but we're made rightwise. God was put to death in flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. There's the corollary or the connection between Noah and the flood and God's love that kept a remnant. And he made a covenant never to do it again. You know, growing up as a child, and the first time I heard that, you know, you look out there and it's a rainy day and you see a rainbow and, you know, wow, that's beautiful. That's God's promise renewed each and every time that I look at that. And in Mark, I'm going to go to the 15th verse, the very last line of that. Because 14 tells us that Jesus, we've heard the Jesus baptized, and when he's baptized, the dove, the Holy Spirit like a dove descending on him, and the voice that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
And then what happens? He gets driven out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he suffers. But when he comes back and he finds out that John the Baptist has been imprisoned, ultimately to be beheaded, Jesus starts his active ministry. And he goes into Galilee and he starts proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the good news. You've heard me say before that repent can be translated as turn around. Whatever direction you were going, you're going and you're following the direction of the world. What God wants us to do is to turn around. He wants to do us an about face. He wants us to repent and follow the path of the cross. Not that he wants us to be hung on a cross, but follow the path that Christ followed. To follow the path of the cross, that's that love, that our sins are nailed up there on that cross. Jesus was obedient even to death, even unto death. God, he could have just as easily said, I'm not doing this. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's kneeling down, he's praying, Lord, if there be any other way for this cup to pass, let it. You don't think that as a human, he didn't think there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way. But in the final moments, he gets up, returns to the disciples who couldn't even stay awake for 25, 30 minutes. They fall asleep, you know. Oh, like us so many times. We fall asleep. We're weary. The day gets us. And it's the Word of God, Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God made flesh to dwell among us. That Word of God that goes and hangs on that tree for you and for me. Easter, hallelujah, celebrate. But we need to know what it cost. Why do we need to know what it costs? Because you know what? Real estate agents will tell you again and again, it's location, 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 right? And the other axiom that a real estate agent will tell you is, what's a piece of property worth? What somebody else is willing to pay for it. You know, the assessor comes in and says that piece of property is worth $600,000. Well, you put that on your sales slip and see what you get for it. They come in there and they start ticking off the things that are wrong with a piece of property or the house, and before you know it, they're not willing to pay the $600,000. They'll pay you $400,000. So it's not what you think it's worth. It's what someone else is willing to pay for it. We're not in the real estate business. We're in the soul salvation business. We're in an eternally operating business. And you know what you're worth? Do you know what you're worth? Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know what He's willing to pay for you? Every drop of His blood, every breath of His body, that's what you're worth. Let's not count the lashes that he got before, or the scourging that happened before, or the fact that he had to carry that cross up to Golgotha. Bleeding. After he'd been ridiculed and beaten for 12, 13 hours. And then he hangs on that cross for 6 hours. And one thief on the cross berates him, and the other beside him says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus says. With almost his dying breath, he says, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. The thief's not getting down off that cross alive. He's dead, or soon will be. Jesus is not coming down off that cross alive. He's dead.
so dead, they take and bury him in a tomb and they leave him there for 3 days. And they're so worried about him that they roll a stone over so that his followers can't come by and steal the body and say later that he's miraculously disappeared or resurrected himself. Because he'd already done that with Lazarus. I mean, you know, they thought he was dead, buried in the tomb for 4 days. And all Jesus did was stand out and he said, "Lazarus, come out." Change your hearts and lives. Repent, yes, is a turn in direction. Instead of following the world, turn around and follow the Word. The Word made flesh. The Savior whom we call Jesus. The true Messiah. Not like King David or King Solomon. But a kingdom that's not of this earth. A kingdom that will not gather rust and be eaten by moths, but an eternal kingdom where you, in that life that is so precious, because how important are you? Christ went to the cross for you. Christ died for you. What are you worth? You're worth every drop of his blood, every breath of his body. What are you worth? When you look at the mirror, look in the mirror. Don't look at the mirror. Look in the mirror, because I want you looking at you. Not, you know, you can have a really nice mirror, but the face looking back at you may not. But anyway, when you look in the mirror later today or tomorrow, at least through the period of Lent, just recognize that whatever face that's staring back at you, whatever opinion you might have of that face and that person, and you know that person better than anybody else, God loves you. Christ loves you. And he loves you enough that you're a child of God. He's already bought and paid for you because he loves you and you are worth it. Not because you think you're worth it. You're worth it because he said you're worth it. He said you're worth it with his deeds. Trust and believe, for Christ Jesus will make you free, for he has made you free indeed. And you should enjoy your life, not just as a life to be lived, but a life abundantly, with more life, more vitality, more joy, more understanding, because that's what Christ has done for you. Not that he's gonna do. He's already done it. You just need to recognize it and live into it. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Shalom.